Well, welcome back to Walking Points. We are so glad you have decided to join us. And Dale, how are you?
I'm well. Cold?
Yeah, it's in Jacksonville, Florida here. It's a blustery 40-something degrees. And if you're up in the Northeast listening right now, you have no sympathy for that. But
yeah, but it is cold in Jacksonville by Jacksonville standards. I think it was 27 this morning.
Well, I think we've closed this. Most public schools are closed. And the city shut down.
Not quite that bad, but we are. We don't have to do with ourselves. Because it was 2 weeks ago or last week, 85 degrees.
Yeah, and I think later this week it'll be warm again.
And so we start off at 27 or 30, and by the end of the day, you know, we're up in the, I don't know if it's going to be that hot today, maybe the 60s, but end of the week it'll be 75 or 80.
Right. These are, just what problems that we have to deal with. Nothing compared to like what we're going to press in today. And we're continuing this series of our spiritual life checkup that Dale has written this little booklet, which has been really helpful. He's helped us as a community here at Southside go through this for years, and now we actually have a little booklet that we're able to do it individually and also share it in small groups. So if you are local here in Jacksonville, we encourage you to get one of these, or you can go online and get some resources at DaleTedder.com about that as well. So we've pressed into the devotional life, and then we did the intellectual life about what's going into our lives. And this week we're pressing into
struggles and temptations.
Struggles and temptations. Ooh, look at the time. I got to go. That's right. But Dale's going to have a great time with you. No.
From my vast experience of both struggling and being tempted.
But this is good stuff. This whole, this little checkup, which is just a few questions really, but they really probe deeply. And that's the whole point of doing this is to help us understand or take inventory of our experiences and how we see God working in and through all of that to bring us closer to Him, and it's for His glory and our good.
Yeah, and you know, as we mentioned before, each one of these little chapters, I guess you could say, or parts, is really just one facet of the Christian life. But it's not the same thing as saying it's like a little corner. So this is one corner, and this is another corner. They all are integrated into the whole. So, you know, when you're struggling with temptation and sin in your own life, it impacts your devotional life. It impacts your intellectual life. It impacts relationships. Or, you know, if one relationship is not good, it impacts other things you might struggle with. I mean, everything is kind of like a spider's web. You know, you pull on one part of it and it impacts the other side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to, we've been talking about, you know, the compartmentalized life, which is not what we want and doesn't reflect reality, frankly, when it comes to, you know, the Christian life. And so it's not like you can have, I struggle with that, but it has nothing to do with the rest of my life. That's not quite how we're wired. And so, you know, I think one of the reasons why the devotional life and the intellectual life come first is because those are things we want to, areas we want to grow in that we can really intentionally pursue and seek maturity in so that we can, you know, better wrestle with the temptation that comes our way and hopefully grow in a positive direction rather than just always sort of reacting to temptation. Hopefully we can avoid it.
Do you think that sometimes we intentionally or unintentionally just try to silo our lives so that we feel like I have some control over this little area of my life, which, you know, that may be real or imagined.
Yeah.
You know, like have some, I've got this under control and think that it has no relation to some other area in our life.
Yeah.
And that's not reality really in God's eyes or just period.
Yeah, that's a really great point. My observation for what it's worth is, you know, we all have those areas where we're stronger, those are the areas that show up on Facebook.
Everything's great.
Let me show you how well I'm doing at life. But, you know, and frankly, our capacity for self-deception is pretty high. And a lot of times, you know, we just don't exercise as much self-awareness about, you know, about ourselves as we ought. Mm-hmm. And we can so compartmentalize our lives that we can focus on those areas where we are doing well and kind of parade those, and yet either hide those other areas from other people or maybe even from ourselves.
Yeah,
we, you know, we so suppress those things and right. try to hold them down that we don't sort of own up to them. And unfortunately, you know, and it may not be a particularly huge issue at the moment, but what happens is you keep sweeping those things under the rug or shoving them in a closet someplace where you're not having to deal with them. And the cumulative effect of all that is, you know, just a big explosion one day and a big mess that now you're having to clean up something or deal with something that's a whole lot bigger than it ever should have been.
Right.
But because it was not dealt with, you know, sort of in a timely fashion, you could say, that's why Pat Morley, who does the Man in the Mirror ministry, I may have even mentioned this before, but he's got something that he says from fairly frequently that has stayed with me, is no man wakes up in the morning planning to fail on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those little small things. And in the checkup, the spiritual life checkup for this this particular part, I have a quote from C.S. Lewis that relates to that. He says, "It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the person away from the light and out into the nothing. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfeet or underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without sign paths." Hmm. And so it's just that those tiny, small compromises, you know, that don't seem like that big a deal. And that's when, you know, I know a lot of men wrestle with pornography, for example. And, you know, there may be some men that jumped right into it with both feet, but I would suspect a lot of men, just a little glimpse here, you know, just a little something here, a little something there, and it gets a hold of us, you know, whatever the sin may be.
Right.
And it can really take us and run with us. And I think it's a good caution to have the self-awareness about, you know, about ourselves, that we can know those areas where we struggle or where we're likely to be tempted. And that's why this checkup, I think, is a good exercise, just to say, you know, what are those areas? If the enemy's coming after me, so to speak, where are they going to attack?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of some of the logic behind that.
Well, in this little study, which basically on one page, it's a little over a page, there are these questions that Dale has that sort of provoke you and prompt you to look at, what is it that I'm really wrestling with? And where am I really feeling that, as Paul would say, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, I'm not doing, paraphrase. But basically, we know, I think we're in touch with that. And how do we come to grips with being honest about it and also moving from that point?
Yeah.
And understanding God's perspective on that, that we are in a relationship with a holy God that expects an honor in that relationship, that we're not just perpetually doing these things that mm-hmm. dishonor him and really put us in a unhealthy situation.
Right.
So what are these next steps? I think that's really the big takeaway too. This is not just to like, hey, I've got this problem.
Right.
But what are the healthy responses to temptation?
Yeah.
And also, how do I even confess that?
Yeah.
And turn to maybe where that's no longer such a controlling part of my life.
Yeah. You know, you have to know what they are first.
Right.
You know, you have to be able to identify them. I mean, if you, that's part of the reason, you know, you do blood work. We've talked about, you know, you find out what's going on with your blood, you know, so that if there are some issues going on, then you know how to treat them, or, you know, any other sort of symptoms you may have. You need to go and talk to the professional, find out, get the expertise, and then they can diagnose what the issue is and then prescribe something that will help you. And same is true here. You know, there are active sins, I guess you could say, but there's also the passive stuff. You know, the active, you might say, would be sort of, well, you know, back to pornography, to use that as an example. You know, you think of it as sort of an active lust, an active use of the imagination, I guess you could say. But there's also things that, they're almost so acceptable. I use that term loosely, but almost so acceptable that we're not even inclined to call them sin. And, you know, I believe that they are, but even if you just wanted to say they're more of the result of sin, you know, or fallenness or brokenness or whatever phrase someone's more comfortable with, but they're more passive almost, like fear and worry. Mm-hmm. You know, you almost think of those as passive because you're not, well, someone might be actively fretting over something and just consumed with something. So in that sense, it's active, but we don't tend to think of those things that way. Whereas if someone's angry, mm-hmm. you know, of course, unless they're being passive aggressive,
right?
But you know, the anger might, you know, if I lash out at you and yell at you or strike you, you know, that seems pretty active. So, kind of knowing what is it I'm wrestling with,
right?
And then, you know, one of the big ideas that I think is was an aha moment for me when I first started, you know, learning about this and studying it, was in the New Testament. Is the idea of putting off and putting on,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we identify what is the sin. Is there a particular area that I'm wrestling with? You know, and this would not be done in isolation from what we've been talking about with the devotional life and the intellectual life. I mean, we always need to make sure we're feeding ourselves the things of God. You know, you preached a sermon on Sunday and you were talking about, what are we taking in?
Mm-hmm.
What are we putting in our system to help us to, you know, think God's thoughts mm-hmm. and to kind of align ourselves with His will for us? You know, what are we doing? So that has to always be going on. That,
right.
That's not just something we throw in there. That's always needs to be taking place. But once we identify, okay, I've got a serious issue with anger,
mm-hmm.
then we, you know, we need to identify it, recognize it for what it is, know that it's not pleasing to God. And then we need to repent of it, which means to really turn away from it, you know, die to it so that it doesn't consume us. But that's a whole lot easier said than done. But we do need to, you know, turn from it. But I think one of the mistakes we often make is we don't just say, I'm sorry, and then seek to move on. We do need to be sorry for it, but we need to replace it with,
mm-hmm.
you know, what would I, instead of being angry or having a short fuse, what would be something that I could put in its place? You know, peace,
mm-hmm.
love, you know, kindness. What are some things that, and so there are different, you know, this is just a loose example, but there are lots and lots of books on the subject of, you know, identifying, putting off, mm-hmm. and that's just the language of the Apostle Paul in his letters, is, you know, we put off the old man, the sinful nature, the particular sinful behaviors,
mm-hmm.
and then we put on the godliness. And so, you know, we couldn't really get into a full-blown conversation right now about it, but that's sort of the theory behind it, I guess you could say.
Right.
And but the putting him into practice is,
right.
you know, that's where the rubber hits the road, and that's and that doesn't just happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just say, oh, yeah, I discovered that I'm a really angry person, and so I've decided not to be, and everything's mm-hmm. good. You know?
Right.
I wish it worked that way. But that's really the sanctification, growing in Christ-likeness process.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's progressive, we hope. You know, mm-hmm. we're ever moving in a Godward direction, so we become more and more like Christ. But, you know, there are some areas in life where once you come to Christ, I mean, some people, they use the language of victory. You know, I don't wrestle with that anymore. But we each have those particular things about us mm-hmm. that, you know, mine is probably not the same as yours, but those are those things that are a lot harder for us to shake. They seem mm-hmm. to have a foothold in our lives for whatever reason.
Right.
And it may be the pursuit of a decade. It may be the pursuit of a lifetime. I mean, yeah. hopefully, ideally, we do want to see ourselves growing where certain things don't have the same stranglehold on us any longer that they once did. And, you know, ultimately, I'd like to see victory, you know, in those right. areas where I've, through God's Spirit and His grace, I hate to even say I've overcome these. It's really God overcoming them in me and through me.
Right.
Like the Galatians 2:20 that you quoted, yeah. You know, it's Christ working His life through me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there might be those things in my life. I mean, I'd like to think that if the Lord gives me, you know, 25, 30 more years, that I won't be wrestling with the same things then, but I might have new things then that aren't even on my radar screen. So that's a lot of talking.
Well, and that's the point. It's not that we, and a couple things come to mind. So one is that we are not trying to achieve some place of approval mm-hmm. with God. Like we're going to clean up our act good enough. And it's like, well, I've dusted myself off. I've become better at something, and right. I think God now accepts or loves me.
Right.
We start in the whole position that God's grace pursues us, and God's love is unconditional towards us, and we are the object of His affection. So He's already, you know, put us in the position of like, there's nothing you can do that will make yourself good enough.
Right.
To be in my presence. I gift you that through a relationship in Jesus mm-hmm. who's gone through everything on the cross so that we can have this new relationship. Now the rest of our lives are enjoying the totality of what that really means. Right. And so an aha kind of, well, ongoing moments for me is that this process of sanctification or being made more in the likeness of Christ is a work of God Himself with and through and in us. And He's even provoking us to like, hey, there's something better. And He'll bring up some things, not for the point of separation, but from greater intimacy. Mm-hmm. So if there's some issue, just like any relationship where we may just not want to put in the effort, mm-hmm. if there's something between us, I would, or you would say to me, gosh, here's something that's between us. And I'd love to talk about it and let's address it and so that we can be closer mm-hmm. versus, oh, I'm just, you know, that's just the way it is. God is always pursuing us for something better
right.
and bringing us closer to Him. So the fact that He is making us the object of His affection, the vantage of this temptation and our feeling of, I can't do this. He's saying, that's right. You cannot do this. Mm-hmm. But I am the overcomer, mm-hmm. and I'm going to show you victory over it
yeah.
by my strength, my power, my resource, which is great because it's always better than what we have or right. what we bring to the table.
Always.
yeah.
But that's why the very first question, you know, we had a long conversation about it, is a gospel question. Mm-hmm. You have to be in Christ for any of this to happen. This is not a clean yourself up, self-help, therapy
right.
kind of thing. I'm not saying there's not a place in the world for all of that, but I am saying the inner life being conformed to the likeness of Christ is not something that happens from the outside in where we just are willing it to happen or working hard enough for it to happen and therefore it will. It has to be, you know, a supernatural work of God mm-hmm. Applying the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, that we come to by faith alone, you know, in Christ. And then we have the resources of heaven, you know, to enable us to do that work from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just key. One of the things that you said that reminded me of, if you've ever read The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis, there's a scene, such a good book. There's a scene where these people are basically on a bus trip from hell to the outskirts of heaven, and they're being invited to, hey, you know, give up those things that took you to hell to start with. You know, we're, you know, it's kind of another opportunity here. Mm-hmm. And that's not really the point of it. He's not trying to build a whole theology of that, but he's just giving that as an example of what keeps people there. Mm-hmm. And so there's one person, and they've got, I'll just, like a red lizard on their shoulder. And they're standing before this angel. And the angel, and something you said reminded me of it, it's the angel initiating this, you know, sort of representing God saying, let me do this. And the angel says, let me kill it. And the person is hemming and hawing. And what it represents is the significant sin in their life they never wanted to give up. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't kill. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to. And the angel saying, may I kill it? And it's like, well, it's not really that big a problem. I've kind of learned, and the thing is whispering in his ear the whole time, mm-hmm. saying, you're not going to let them do that to me, are you? I mean, I'll be good. I won't bother you anymore. I'll just stay out of your way, and you go your way, right. And I'll just be quiet. And it's just this, it's the most incredible scene of how we rationalize our sin, and we don't want it to really die. Mm-hmm. We'll just say, well, I'll just kind of keep it on the down low. I won't talk about it. It won't bother me, and I won't bother it. And meanwhile, God is saying to us, no, it's got to die because of everything you were just saying, because I love you too much. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's not best for you. In mm-hmm. fact, it's a hindrance to you. It's harmful to you. And, you know, it's got hellish influence in your life. Right. And so I know what's best. Let me kill it. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the struggle there, is letting these things go. And it's not just giving them up, but it really is dying to them.
Yeah.
And killing them. And, you know,
versus that, managing things. We yeah. tend to do that.
Yeah.
We,
sin management. Yeah. yeah. Right.
And can become, we think in our own mind, you know, I'm pretty good at that.
Right.
And there is no good at that, really. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's bad to be good at that.
Right. And that's why self-deception really is such a big deal. Mm-hmm. Our capacity to deceive ourselves and think, this is just a little peccadillo. God certainly doesn't care about this.
Right.
I mean, I'm not hurting anybody. You know, this is a victimless sin.
Right.
It's like, well, no, you know, have you forgotten about yourself? You know, and on top of that, more than likely, there are plenty of others impacted by it. You know, so that, first of all, that's just a joke, you know, that you would not think that. But even if that were the case, mm-hmm. God loves you enough, and he knows that you can never be fully like his son Jesus mm-hmm. if he doesn't kill it.
That's right.
So I think that's a big idea. And so that's part of what this, you know, struggles and temptations section in the checkup's all about.
I'm glad that this checkup is intended to be highly personal, of course, mm-hmm. but I think it even takes a great significance when we're able to share that one with another. So if you have an opportunity to do this or go through this little study, this third study.
Have y'all reached this part? I know one of your starting points class.
Yes, we've done the whole.
You know, you don't have to get into details, obviously, but in general, how were people when you know talking about this sort of thing in their small group? Was it a hard experience for them to, because I mean, I've been working with somebody, you know, some folks through this as well. You know, the first couple parts weren't as hard to talk about mm-hmm. because it's, you know, let's work on our devotional life and our intellectual life. But this one,
yeah,
it's tough.
It is,
you know, because we have to, you know, we don't have to, but we have the opportunity to share some things. And I just didn't know how your experience was with your group.
It's good. And actually, sometimes people are just looking for the opportunity to share mm-hmm. and be authentic with somebody about it. So if you're not connected in relationship with someone else that you can talk about really what's going on, we highly encourage that.
Yeah.
Because this is it's fruitful in and of itself to be honest and have a good self-evaluation. But gosh, you know what? Oftentimes others around us mm-hmm. Can see things we don't. And also can be a great place where we say to them, hey, I just need to tell somebody that I really struggle with this. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing what happens. We've seen this in the recent weeks when even when those two sentences, like I struggle with this and it makes me feel like this.
Yeah.
When maybe they've never really talked about it, the power of that struggle or temptation immediately begins to lose its grip.
Right.
Once it's out there and it's in a place where they feel like they're safe enough to share that. And our enemy, our adversary, the devil, always wants to keep us self-contained.
Yeah.
Wants us to be managing or trying to manage, you know, how we... whether it's an ongoing sin or a variety of things that we struggle with, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's the right thing to do. And God's saying, no, you're designed to confess.
Yeah.
You're designed to be in relationship. And you can do that with me, and I will give you the strength to share that with others.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives grace and power and strength to the humble, and he opposes the proud who just try to manage things and don't share it. So
I've been working with some men on this, and we've been meeting together, and we've been doing things like this for a long time. In fact, I met with them this morning, and you know what you were saying earlier. You know, Satan's power in our life is directly proportional to anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like right. You said, when we keep it quiet, he's got so much more power, and it has so much power, you know, over us. And so, over the years, I've gotten to know these guys well. And, you know, I've shared things with them. They've shared things with me. And it's, you know, we built our way to that. It didn't just happen. But when you enter into a, you know, a trusting relationship, and you know that, you know, these folks are brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ, we have each other's best interest at heart to the degree that we're able to, it really is a powerful resource and tool in our lives that God can use, you know, to help us to grow and mature and become, you know, the folks that he wants us to be.
So we encourage you to go through this whole, and you're right, Dale, that you mentioned that we talked about the devotional life and just what's the process you have for personal time and God's word and to listen to what he's saying through prayer and that whole process and discipline, which is really important, a great place to start. Also, what are we taking in? What are we feeding our mind that affects everything else?
Mm-hmm.
What's the process there? This really gets really personal, doesn't it?
Very.
Not that those things are not.
Right.
This is a great opportunity to share all the above in context of a relationship. So the great news is the Holy Spirit, who is our great counselor and also our great advocate who's for us, wants to bring things up not to press us down, but to free us up. I mean, that's his whole vantage.
Right.
He's really positioning us to understand that there is, he is the overcomer in these situations. And there's nothing outside his power, nothing that can't be overcome. And I think even things that maybe, there's some wound that goes back that maybe keeps us in some kind of loop.
Mm-hmm.
I love how, God's word is that great rinsing, cleansing power that's the first thing you do to a wound, isn't it? You
right.
just want to clean it out. And there's some other, we're not just going to brush it off.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other agent which is going to flush out that wound and
right.
take out the things that will cause infection.
Right.
And so God's word is good at that. The Holy Spirit is redemptive in his whole nature. And so what would you say would be, of course, the obvious things to be honest and take inventory of these things, but what's the takeaway after that happens?
After the...
Just understanding our temptation, our trials, things we can go, well, I struggle with this, this, and this.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the values of sharing that with someone else is rather than trying to go it alone or figuring out, you know, what is the quote-unquote solution, there was a, I don't know if it was on Saturday Night Live or something else, but it was a Bob Newhart skit where he was the guest, and it was hilarious. But the whole thing, the person said, well, I struggle with this, and he goes, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his advice, stop it,
yeah.
quit it, don't do that, stop. so there is that component. But you know, more helpful, I think, would is and you know, bear in mind this is all, you know, not in your own strength, but in the Lord's. But talking to someone, I think the conversation that can be generated, even if the person has not, you know, someone that you're sharing this with, has not perhaps gone through the very same thing, they might have and probably have gone, they certainly wrestled with something. So that's the good news, is you're talking to an imperfect, sinful human being.
Right.
So it may be that they've got something similar in their own lives, or they had something, and they can give you counsel for how to move ahead. I would talk to a, find a mature Christian that you know can walk with you through that. Find some accountability in your life. I mean, there's great resources to read or to listen to. But having someone who walks with you through that, don't try to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a very private thing you're wrestling with,
right?
Your likelihood of success, I think, you know, it drops dramatically if you try to go it alone.
Right.
But if you have, you know, a what some folks call, you know, a soul friend,
mm-hmm.
someone who cares about you far more deeply than just the surface stuff.
Right.
You know that they will give you a call, or there's somebody who you could call anytime. Mm-hmm. Someone who you know is going to ask you, so how'd you do this week?
Yeah.
And
that's powerful.
Presuming that you're not going to lie to them. You know, you're, and it's just, and again, this is not a quick fix thing.
Right.
But you know, over time, as you're doing all those other things we've been talking about, you know, the devotional life, the intellectual life, stuff that's feeding your heart and your mind and your soul, the people in your life, worship, you know, just
yeah.
all the things we could talk about the rest of the day. Put those things, don't wait to do those.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, I'll do it when there's a better time. Yeah. I mean, get on it.
Today's the day.
Yeah, be active.
Mm-hmm.
Actively pursue this. And, you know, just bathe it in prayer, asking each day, you know, fill me with your spirit, Lord, for the living of this day. You start the day off that way. I mean, it's not a magic formula, but I do think it helps tune you in
mm-hmm.
so that you can you know, keep in step with the Spirit.
Right.
And I know that on days that I do that, it sounds so human-centered, I don't mean for it to be, but I know that I keep my eye on the ball a lot better
mm-hmm.
through the rest of the day
mm-hmm.
when I've sort of kind of tuned myself in at the beginning.
Right.
I mean, but all I'm doing there is trying to make sure I'm on the same page as the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Know? So, so anyway, those are just some ideas off the top of my head, but I think those things are important.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, other than all the things we've been talking about with the devotional and, you know, the intellectual life and going to the Lord in prayer, don't try to go it on your own, humanly speaking, either.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And that's, we're designed to be in relationship, restored with God through Jesus, and then in community and fellowship with one another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how God created us.
Right.
So, Dale, this chapter, if you're just starting this in a small group, you're going to enjoy it. And I mean that in a in the sense of, you know what I'm talking about. There's something better there. And it may not be easy. Let's put it that way. But as you share what some of your struggles and temptations are with another person, even if it's one other person, you're beginning to be in that process, which is good and healthy and right. And it's great to get together and pray for one another specifically about things and to share, like, wow, look at 6 months ago, this was really an issue, but God has done a great work
mm-hmm.
In our lives. I mean, that's the kind of God that we are in relationship with.
Yeah.
So this is good. We look forward to next week as we are going to press into our next devotional topic, and that's going to be...
Loving God by serving others.
That's right. So that's going to be a fun topic and how we so practically kinda, show what's
that's
going
right.
on.
So it kind of moves in from the loving God
mm-hmm.
Inward
mm-hmm.
to from the vertical to the horizontal,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing. How does that impact relationships? But not just relationships, but also what John Wesley would have called scriptural holiness. How does it? What are our responsibilities as Christians to the world?
Yeah.
Relationships is always part of that, But there's, yeah, it's more than just your own personal piety.
Oh, right.
But it's, you know, what are the social dimensions of that?
How are your gifts, which are a gift from God, being used for His glory mm-hmm. and to benefit others?
Right.
Well, that's going to be great. So, Dale, once again, thank you for putting this all together. There are more resources at daletedder.com. You can also check out his link at our church, sumcjax.org. And we hope you have a great week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Stay warm.